Sounds like it's generally consistent with the framework understanding. There were questions related to that, specifically in terms of access to suspect sites, that we will really have to see the details on. How much control do the Iranians have over that? Are they able to affect the timing of that? When the Iranians talk about managed access, does that mean that basically they really are in a position to have time to scrub a site, to resist access to the site? The more we know about those questions, the more comfortable I will be.
That is your biggest concern, is it? That it won't be possible to verify?
That is my biggest concern within the context of the agreement, because the agreement itself is very much an agreement of rollback of sanctions in return for extensive transparency. The rollback of the Iranian nuclear program is quite limited when it comes to the enrichment side, and it's limited both in terms of the scope of it, but also in terms of the time of it. For 10 years, there's a smaller number of centrifuges operating. For 15 years, the stockpile of low-enriched uranium is rolled back. So you are buying 10 to 15 years' time in terms of being able to have a high level of confidence that the Iranians really couldn't become a nuclear weapon state in that point. The problem is after 15 years when there really are no limits on the size of the program, and that's a second concern of mine, that the Iranians should not in any way think that because they will be in a nuclear threshold state, which is recognized internationally, that somehow they can move from a threshold state status to a weapon status. And I think this is really outside the scope of the deal, but I do think it's very important for the United States and others to establish an unmistakable threshold here that if the Iranians move towards nuclear weapons, that could trigger the use of force against them, because I think we need to reestablish deterrence on the issue of Iran not having nuclear weapons.
But if you can say, look, we can stop Iran getting nuclear weapons for 15 years, that's a good deal, no?
Well, it certainly is a deal that buys you something. That it also begs another question. What do you do with that 10 to 15 years? What can you do to make sure that, if anything, you're increasing the character of deterrence as it relates to Iran? And what are you doing to ensure that other countries in the region decide not to follow what the Iranians are doing, meaning that they can build up a nuclear infrastructure they can enrich as well? I mean, you really don't want this agreement to add to the proliferation problems there by putting other states in a position where they could become threshold nuclear states as well.
And of course, it will also mean that sanctions are lifted and it will have more money.
One of the things we have to look at is not only do they get reintegrated into the international economy, but they have assets in frozen accounts that may be as much as $150 billion. It kind of strains the bounds of credulity to think that some percentage of that isn't going to go to Hezbollah and Hamas and Kutaiba's Hezbollah and Asaib al-Haq and maybe the Houthis. I am worried about that, and I do think there is a need, again, at least for the United States and the Europeans, to plan a set of responses to anticipate that, because if it happens, you're going to see a region that is already melting down actually begin to become even more problematic.
But a lot of people, of course, have focused on the fact that this deal is necessary if Iran is to help in the fight against Islamic State.
Well, they're going to fight against Islamic State whether you have this deal or you don't have this deal. Islamic State is a threat to them. So I don't think this deal is what makes them likely to resist the Islamic State.
Dennis Ross, thank you very much.